We're still working through our feelings here after that Game 5 loss and wondering what the hell happened to Grant Williams, what's going on with Marcus Smart, and I'll actually do a play breakdown. It's a YouTube video exclusive, a play breakdown on that final play. What went wrong with that final play, that final half court play where Marcus Smart got blocked by Drew Holiday? I'm going to break that down right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Ever ready, recognize the city of champs, Boston baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J team, step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird the DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's how I started, raising banners how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Bonus podcasts throughout the course of the playoffs, which hopefully continue to roll on. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. I also host this podcast, which is free, available everywhere podcast exists, and it's on YouTube. Please watch the show on YouTube. Celtics getting ready for an elimination game, the first elimination game of Ime Udoka's career. A game where, you know, elimination games, anything can happen. And I'm going to say anything can happen in this podcast. Normally I have a little structure, but you know what? We're winging it today, man. It's going to be me. It's going to be Tom Westerholm. We're just going to sit at two pals sitting around talking about these Boston Celtics, because I feel like today, Tom, is, you know, we're not quite like on the verge of elimination, or like we are technically.
I was going to say, we literally are.
Literally a team on the verge of elimination. But like, I don't want to be like down about it, because also you win two straight games and you win the series. So, right. I don't know, man. Like, I know a lot of, basically this is Locked On Bucks part two, because I think the YouTube video especially was heavily populated by Bucks fans in the comments. So I think I get a lot of people hate listening here. I want to give the Bucks the proper amount of credit, because you don't quit and you work hard and all of that. But also, without Chris Middleton, the Celtics, I don't want to say they're the better team, because they're down 3-2. But also, each one of these, two of those three losses, the first loss was Milwaukee smacking them in the face. Game three and game five, that's as much on Boston as it is on anybody. And I can't shake that feeling. I rewatched that fourth quarter straight through, did a whole big breakdown for Boston Sports Journal. I just can't shake, like, nothing that Milwaukee did should have shaken the Celtics. Celtics should have. And watching it again just solidifies my take. Celtics should have run away with game five.
Yeah, I don't know about run away with, but like they
sprint with it, Tom. Tuck it like a football and go, man. Hand off at the 2-yard line.
Okay, like legitimately, there is, they were up 14, right? Like they had it. Like, I don't know about run away with it, but the Celtics did run away with one game this series. It's not like it would be completely unheard of for them to run away with a playoff game against the Bucks. They already did it in game two. So, I mean, look.
And you can argue that they did it in game four, by the way they ran away with that fourth quarter.
Yeah, right. Right. Down the stretch, especially, for sure. So, look, I think, you know, you mentioned giving the Bucks the credit, and I think it is worth giving credit to Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's worth giving credit to Drew Holiday, because Drew Holiday saved the Bucks season, like with that blocked shot. I mean, Smart was going to score that. Like, I don't know, you know, like he just was. Like, he had Connaughton beat. He had Connaughton, you know, kind of bumped back. You go back and you look at the screenshot, and it's like, Smart has a very easy bank shot. I mean, not like easy by our standards, but easy by an NBA player's, especially Smart's standards. You know, he is quite good at scoring through contact, and he was about to score that shot, and Drew Holiday came out of nowhere, swatted that away, saved the Bucks season. You know, like that was a huge play. Giannis, 40 points, you know, 27 shots. Like, that's incredible. Like, it's incredible stuff. Giannis is an incredible basketball player. All that aside, I do hear you. I mean, I think it was funny how like after every Celtics loss, there's been just like things that like Ime Udoka or the team could point to and be like, okay, that's something that we should fix. Okay, that's something we should fix. Okay, that's something. If we fix those things, we'll be good next game. And it has so far, you know, after losses, they have fixed those things and gone on to win. After last night's game, it wasn't really that there was anything that needed to be fixed. It was just they had to keep doing the right thing for like, not, they didn't even need to do it the right thing for the rest of the game. They needed to keep like playing well for like two more minutes would have done the job. And yeah, they didn't. And yeah, I mean, like the offensive rebounds were obviously costly. But even the offensive rebounds, it's funny because like you could say that the Celtics gave up that last offensive rebound, but really what happened is they just flubbed it. Like, it wasn't, you know, some big guy coming over the top and grab it. It's just two guys collided at exactly the wrong time. Like, it is technically an offensive rebound, but that's not like the Celtics are getting pounded on the offensive glass. That's just the ball was greasy or something, and it just like slipped out of their hands. Like, I mean, you know, like I do hear what you're saying. Like, the Celtics had every opportunity to win that game. Should have won that game, could have won that game. As great as the Bucks are, as great as Giannis is, as great as Drew Holiday is, the Celtics should have, could have, and would have won that game if they just grabbed that offensive rebound.
There are a couple of plays, and like I said, I did the whole breakdown, so I watched everything all over again, which, you know, RIP to my sanity. But the one play that sticks out to me, and it just, I think it flies under the radar, but I'm watching the loop of it now. Minute 45 to go. The Celtics are now up 105-99. This is after the Al Horford put back dunk. All right. This is that, to me, that was the end of the game. Should have been the end of the game. Al Horford flies in, put back, two hand slam, place erupts. And by the way, I do want to talk about the fans in the building later on, because that was a weird atmosphere. I'm going to just put a pin in that. Al Horford. Let me go through the whole timeline, because the Bucks do get two offensive rebounds with about 2.5 minutes to go. They come up empty. The Celtics come down. Al Horford put back. It's 105-99. This should be, you're just one stop away. You're under 2 minutes. You're one stop away. So Bobby Portis misses the three. You get your stop. Mm-hmm. Portis misses the three. Now, as he's shooting the three, Marcus Smart's in the middle of the lane, and he takes, I don't know, an elbow to the face or a shoulder to the face. And it happens at the dots below the free throw line. And he sells the foul, but in selling the foul, he takes himself completely out of the play. He falls and runs out of the lane and down the baseline, and he's almost in the Bucks bench. And where does the offensive rebound go? The exact spot that Marcus Smart just left. That exact spot, and Wesley Matthews gets that offensive rebound and kicks it out, and improbably, Giannis Antetokounmpo hits a three-pointer. And okay, so you don't expect Giannis to hit the three, but you know what? Like, and I'm the biggest Marcus Smart guy, and I didn't mention this in last night's podcast because I hadn't gone through everything and I had forgotten about this play. But this might be the most upset I've been at Marcus Smart, because I know you're trying to sell the foul, but to take yourself out of the play so far, where you go from the middle of the lane to the friggin' Bucks bench, and to have that offensive rebound go to the exact same spot where you were, where you could have at least fought Wesley Matthews for it, or maybe even grabbed it yourself. And then, of course, through karma, basketball gods, whatever, Giannis's three-pointer goes in, and now it's a three-point game. That thing right there, that one play right there is enough to win the game. Get that rebound. You're right. Up six. You're right. Up six. What are you doing, Marcus? What are you doing there? Why are you being so dramatic? You didn't die. You didn't even complain to the refs afterwards. There's no blood. There's no nothing. That one play bothers me maybe more than anything. Maybe more than the Portis. More than anything, that one play bugs me.
Hey, man, he was just following instructions. Ime told him to flop more. And
then fall down. Then just hit the deck. Then just hit the deck.
That's what it is. You were like you can't have none of this half stepping, like stumbling away from the play. You gotta hit the deck and grab your face and maybe give yourself a bloody nose. Like
whatever. You know. I just don't see it. And I'm not in the moment, but to get hit in the face, okay, maybe it knocks you off balance, but you didn't get knocked out. You didn't get I don't understand. I just don't understand why he took himself that far out of the play. The last 2 minutes of the game were the Marcus Smart haters' dream because a lot of stuff went wrong and he was in the middle of a lot of it. Some of it is overblown. This one kind of flew under the radar. I'm surprised more people didn't bring this up. I'm the one that's bringing this up because I think it's
out. Right. No, I honestly thought that a lot of the stuff that people were really bringing up about him wasn't that fair. I think yours is. That is a legitimate criticism of like you take yourself out of the play. It's something the Celtics often do to themselves. I mean it's hard to say because obviously we watch the Celtics more than we watch any other team by far in the NBA. It does feel like the Celtics, maybe more than most teams, have a tendency to take themselves out of plays. Like whether it's complaining to the refs or trying to draw something or whatever it is, like there's not an insignificant number of times every game where Tatum complained a little too long and the ball came down and found the guy that was open as a result. Maybe it wasn't his guy, but it was a guy who was open as a result of the rotation that was caused by Tatum taking a little too long. This stuff happens and it's been happening even in the playoffs. And this is the time that can't happen. The regular season, whatever, you want to make a point, whatever. But even in the regular season, you do build habits that carry over. Those things can carry over. And, I do think that the Celtics are somewhat susceptible to those types of, those types of flubs.
That's a good point. Well, let's continue this conversation because taking themselves out of plays and taking themselves out of this game is why, even after the last loss, I thought, not too bad. After the first loss, I felt confident. After game one, didn't bother me as much. At game three, I wasn't too worried. But this one just sits wrong with me. This one does not sit well with me. And it's not even that I expect them. I still feel like they could easily come back and win the series. This thing could go either way right now. But them coming back and winning two straight games is not outrageous. So let's continue this conversation in a minute. First, I need to get myself a Built Bar. I'm all worked up. A snack could do me some good. Maybe some extra, some nutrition can calm me down. Maybe I'm getting hangry at this point. But some Built Bars would be great because they are delicious and nutritious. If you want to get some great flavors, how about this? Birthday cake puffs. All right. So it's like a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting, if that's your thing. And then you realize what you're having is only 150 calories with 16 grams of protein. That's birthday cake puff from Built. All right. And you get Built bars that have all these great tasting flavors that are somewhere around 130 calories and 17 grams of protein. So you want these Built puffs, which are like protein infused marshmallows. You want the Built bars, which is basically like a candy bar that is low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein. It's all there at built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Built Puffs, just like the Built Bars, are covered in 100% chocolate, so you can eat healthy and enjoy it. It's a great snack. It's a great meal replacement. It's great to throw in your gym and gym bag and almost like a reward after a workout. And it's what your body's looking for. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15. It works every time. You can use it as often as you want to get 15% off your order. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make a Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen of the day if you want to keep up with the NBA draft? Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is going to walk you through some great content. This dude is traveling around the country, around the world, scouting people himself. He is great at what he does. So make sure if you want to keep up with anything with the draft, in Locked On NBA Big Board, find it wherever you found the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's bring Tom back in to talk about the Celtics taking themselves out of plays, which I'd like your point about how built this is habits. And Ime spent so much of this season talking about we need to break bad habits. And not only is he trying to break bad habits, but he's also trying to stop guys from building these bad habits. Grant Williams, for one, who is like Jason's best friend on the team. And guess who now is suddenly really, really, really talking to the refs and really getting into it with the refs. And Ime had to call a timeout in Milwaukee because Grant specifically didn't get back on a play. And the guy that he was supposed to check hit a three in the corner and he forced Ime to burn a timeout. For all of the things, Tom, that we have said, and the Celtics can go win the series, and maybe it won't matter. Maybe they can go win a championship this year and it won't matter. But for a team that has done so much so well, for them to still be taking themselves out of plays, extended periods, by the way, of getting caught up in the officiating, getting caught up in things that aren't working, even in the fourth quarter, getting caught up in trying to answer the other team's baskets rather than just running their offense. Celtics ran their offense at the beginning of the quarter and were great. Yep. Up until like the 8-minute mark, they were maintaining that lead. They'd only lost 3 points off of that lead. And then down the stretch at the end, when Tatum drew his free throws, they ran offense. They got away from that. They continue, even in the conference semifinals, to take themselves out in varying degrees. That might be one of the more infuriating parts of this team, despite how good they've been.
Well, I mean, we've seen now a few times in the playoffs, like you'll get those moments where like people on Twitter, people are watching, people whatever, will just start to like have this little inkling of like, this kind of looks like the early season Celtics. Like, why does this look a little bit like the early season Celtics? And I think a big part of it is that like the second half of the season Celtics, offensively, they were very consistent. They moved the ball. They moved themselves. They cut, you know, they did all the stuff. Like, they just played basketball the right way. They were unselfish. They were, when they had mismatches, they attacked them, but they didn't just do it to score. They did it to, like, you know, collapse the defense and to make passes and to do all this stuff. And there have been a lot of stretches, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like during the playoffs, I've seen a lot of stretches where Jason Tatum is pulling up for these, like, pick-and-roll threes, like, early in the shot clock that you can get any time you want. Any time. And not for nothing. I actually looked this stat up the other day. Here's something kind of interesting. Jason Tatum, when he shoots with no dribbles from three, is over 50% in the playoffs from three. When he shoots with 7+ dribbles, he's over 40%. Everything else in between, he is well below 30%. So all of those pick and roll threes, they're bad. The ones that he's hitting are the isolation threes. He's shooting, he's got an effective field goal percentage of like something like 56 in isolation. And on catch and shoots, he's like 1.3 points per 100 points per possession. He's like just killing on catch and shoots. No surprise there. Tatum doesn't get many catch and shoots because nobody's leaving him. It's fine. Right. But like the truth of the matter is that like his baskets in the playoffs have been attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line, and then those 7 dribble threes where he dribbles, goes between his legs, sizes his guy up, and then he shoots. And when he just catches, like he doesn't make the pick and roll ones. He doesn't. You know, he doesn't make these like quick trigger threes that he loves so much. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the Celtics built all these great habits, and we see them manifest themselves in the playoffs often. Whenever they're good, it's when the ball's moving, it's when Tatum is beating somebody and then passing, or Jaylen is beating somebody and passing and scoring, whatever. And when they're bad, it's just, you know it. You've seen it. Like, we saw it in November, we saw it in December, and we saw it in, like, the first half of January. It's a pretty clear line of delineation, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, we saw in the second quarter of Game 5, we saw the absolute best of the Celtics, yeah, where they were moving, yes, the ball, they were, you know, they were scoring, they were defending, they were getting out in transition, you know, alley-oop. We haven't seen any alley-oops in this series, maybe because Rob hasn't been healthy for half of it, but it's interesting that Tatum, his favorite shots, like, for his entire career, the shots that he loves to take are the ones that he just doesn't hit. And it used to be the mid-range fadeaway, you know, going across the lane, spin, you know, those types of things. And he took a couple of those in this game. And that was part of the problem too.
Like, yeah.
I will stick to what I said about Tatum, about Jaylen. When you have a shot, any jump shot, where you can step into it and in rhythm take that shot against the drop coverage, that's a good shot in this series. But not the three-pointers that you're talking about are not that. If you're turning the corner and you're taking two dribbles and Brook Lopez is down by the restricted area and you're up by the free throw line, take that shot. Take that, because that's easy money. If you're working the ball down, working the clock down, which they did in several possessions in, you know, 5-6 minutes left to go in this game, where Tatum is just standing and holding it and no one's moving. Like, why is no one else moving? Why is everybody standing and watching? Were the Celtics the ones that were gassed in this one? Was it Boston that was the script flipped, where Boston just didn't have it? Because it didn't feel like they didn't have it. When they wanted to turn it on, they could.
Yep.
They just didn't. I don't understand. I don't understand how a team in that situation doesn't say, oh, great, 14 points. Let's get it to 20. Let's get it to 25. I don't understand. Like, and what did Milwaukee do to build that lead? They hit a bunch of threes, but Grant Williams. What happened to Grant Williams, by the way? What the hell happened to Grant Williams? He has been terrible.
It's so weird, man, because, like, it can't be the pressure of, like, the big moment, because he's been great the whole playoffs. He's been great guarding Kevin Durant. He's been great guarding Giannis. Right. What bigger moment? He's proven himself several times in those big moments. How much bigger of a moment could you need? I don't get it.
We had a conversation after game two of this series. We had a conversation after game two of this series about, oh my God, how much money are they going to have to pay Grant Williams? Because he's just the whole Brooklyn series, he was awesome. Games one and two, he was awesome. Like, I don't, all of a sudden, is this the case where, when Ime was joking the other day, or not the other day, probably this point was like a month ago, where he's like, oh, you know, Grant sometimes his ego, you know, we gotta pop that ego a little bit. Like, is this a case of Grant, like, hearing everybody talk about, wow, man, Grant's really, really, they gotta lock him up soon, or else he's gonna be, you know, he's gonna be the one that turns down the extension. I don't know what happened, but on that first Connaughton three, he just lost Connaughton. So he got him in a cross match. And it's very simple, stick with Connaughton. But he got caught up. Wesley Matthews made a cut, like a sacrificial cut, wasn't even trying to get the ball. Al Horford was there, he had him. And Grant, for some reason, just slid over. And I was like, oh, here comes Wes Matthews. And Connaughton comes off a screen, curls into a shot, boom. And Grant loses him, and there's a three-pointer. And you're like, that little play alone, that's what lights the fuse. I don't understand. I don't understand what's happened to some of these guys. Let me leave it there for a second. We'll come back. We'll get Tom's reaction to what the hell has happened to Grant Williams. And also the thing about the fans, because it was a weird moment. It was a weird feeling in the Garden, in the middle of game four. We'll come back with that. First, let's talk about BetOnline, because obviously now the Milwaukee Bucks have become the favorites to win this series. Makes perfect sense. But the Celtics are only 1.5 point underdogs going into game six, which on the road elimination game, that's basically a pick 'em. They're giving the home team some love there, but I think the if you're counting on, if you're looking for any sort of confidence, which despite the tone of this podcast, I do have confidence in the Celtics that they can go in there and win game six. I feel like part of the whole tone of this podcast is because I'm like confused that they didn't win game five. So they can win game six. And I think being only 1.5 underdogs is at BetOnline is part of why. So head on over to BetOnline. It is your source for sports wagering information. You got the basketball playoffs. You got the NFL futures. You got Major League Baseball. Whatever fights are out there, the Preakness is coming up. So head on over to the website, use your mobile device today. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. All right, Tom, I went on a little rant. I'm feeling ranty today. I feel like maybe I've just got some unresolved stuff that I got to get off my chest. I don't know. I'm feeling ranty. So my last rant was about Grant Williams, which I just don't understand. So what's your Grant Williams take?
I mean, I think there's two ways to look at it, right? Like there's okay, maybe, you know, maybe there's something concerning here or whatever. There's also the way to look at it that, like, hey, this is a young guy. This is a role player. You know, he's sometimes those guys are going to be up and down, you know, like, you know, you can't expect him to be this, like, you know, perfect role player. He's in his third year. Like role players, it takes one thing that's very important to remember is that, like, a role player develops over the course of his career, right? Like a lot of these guys, you know, do struggle early on. Grant hasn't struggled early on. He's been really good, but, like, you know, he's not a superstar. Like, you know, how much can you realistically expect from him every single night? I feel like certainly you expect him to be a little bit better than he was in game five. You know, I'm not saying that by any means, but, you know, it's funny, man. I just think, like, there's the thing is, like, if the Celtics just play a little bit better the last 6 minutes, we're not talking about Grant Williams.
None of this.
Nobody cares.
No,
like,
right.
It's just those 4 minutes.
You know what it is? If they, let's say everything happens the exact same way, but Marcus Smart, like, grabs that rebound and they close out the fourth quarter.
You don't even have to be good the last 4 minutes. You have to grab that rebound.
Grab that one rebound, right? So the Celtics up six, grab that rebound, go up eight, play the foul game, hold on. And we're talking about, wow, you know, they didn't like the execution, but, you know, we'll move on. And then the tone of this conversation is, hey, Tom, you know, like, Grant Williams has been so good, but, you know, a couple of off games. What do you make of that? Like, that's the entire conversation. And now, because they lost, it's like, you're right, Bill. You're right. It is true. But at the same time, you do have to be better in those situations.
You do. I mean, and it's across the board, right? Because it's like you could make the same argument for Marcus Smart. Like, maybe Drew Holiday doesn't rotate down because fairly he's guarding Jaylen Brown, and Marcus hits that shot, and this entire conversation shifts about that too. It's, you know, that's
right. Weird. My take, and I said this on last night's podcast, is that Holiday made a great play, and Smart had Connaughton beat, and all of that stuff. But you really should know, like, this is Milwaukee. I need to be aware of where everybody else is on the floor, because the one thing about the Milwaukee Bucks is you think you got a shot at the rim, you don't. Like, that's, you
probably do not. Yeah,
you probably don't. Right? You're like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm this open. Oh, it's because you're not. Right. Somebody is around, and I feel like Smart, I thought he did a good job breaking the play because the play was broken at that point, and I thought he did a good job taking the lane and getting to getting to that spot on the floor. I think he did a bad job of recognition and not basically not remembering oh, right, somebody's coming. I need to be aware of who's coming. And then there was a dump down to Jalen, who was coming right down the middle, did the exact right thing. Jalen, whenever a guy drives baseline, you cut down the middle and it's open. It's always open. And he did, and he didn't get the ball. And that's my knock on Smart in that particular instance, that he just didn't have that. He just lost that one little, the edge that Smart has is how smart he is. And I thought he just played too fast, and he just, Grant did the same thing. Marcus did the same thing. I think other guys did the same thing. They just stopped playing within themselves and saying, here's what I do. They started to try to do other things. And once you start to do the things you do well start to suffer. And I think Marcus got a little too caught up in the other things that it ruined what was supposed to be a really great night for him, because he was having a great night up until the last 2 minutes, and that ruined it. And now all of the other, they need a floor general type guy talk is back. And that's not what you want. And the people are back in the, all of a sudden, people who haven't commented on the YouTube videos in months come back and be like, see, this is why you don't have Marcus Smart around. Like, come on. But there's nothing you can say about it, because Smart actually did a couple of those things where you're like, oh, man, what are you doing? Go ahead.
There's something you could say about it, which is, no, he's a good player. Like, I'm sorry.
No, right. You're right.
Yeah, maybe he had a bad, like, you know, he had a couple of bad plays and everything, but like, he's still a good player. Right. I'm real curious. Real quick, I am curious, like, what your, because I have Zapruder filmed those minute, the seconds right before Smart decided to kind of take over that play, and like, I think,
final play. I want to hear your take.
Penultimate play, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Horford is looking down. I think you can kind of see his head snap up, and then he'd be like, oh crap. And then he goes and like sets the screen for Tatum. I think that's what was supposed to happen. Like, that's right. That pin down was what was supposed to initiate the offense. That's what Ime said. And I think what you see is, I think it's on Al. And it's so weird to say that I think that Al Horford messed up, but I think he did. I think he was like not paying attention for a second, lost track of it, and then was like, oh no. And then he had to like run and screen Tatum.
Yes, I agree. So I spent...
Bizarre. Al Horford made a mistake.
I know. It's wild, but like... So Jay King and I spent a fair amount of time post-game looking at this play in the media room, and we're like, what was supposed to happen? And so now I'm looking at this. Let me see if I can share my screen. For the people on the... I'm going to break the rule. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Can people see this? Yeah, people can see this.
Look at that.
Okay, look at that.
Oh, okay. Man, Kraus, this has some off-season potential here.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So for the people on YouTube, this is a tease for the people on YouTube, for people who are not listening, but I'm going to try to describe it. So the ball is dropped off to Derek White. Okay. And now I don't know where Al Horford is facing, but this is where Marcus Smart says we're up against the five count. So I think Horford is supposed to set this pin down. And if we just, let me play it here a little bit, right within a second and a half, Ime Udoka is gesturing.
Right. Starts gesturing. Yeah.
He starts gesturing. Go, go, go. And then Al goes, oh, then he goes. So now the timing of this play is off. What I think is supposed to happen is Jalen sets the screen on Connaughton. Horford comes down and sets the screen on Matthews. Whoops. Let me do that again. And then Smart is supposed to come off that screen, catch the pass over here, and come around to the top right around the hash mark, and deliver it to Jason Tatum right around the top, the pin down coming up so he can drive on Portis. And then what you have now is a drive on Portis. You then Jalen
or Connaughton if he pursues, but yeah.
Right. And then you have Jalen in the corner, because now if you have Smart coming up that pick, and I think, I don't know what's going to happen with Derek White. He might just kind of hang out here. If Jalen goes down to the corner, a drive would draw Holiday and Jalen would be wide open in the corner for a corner three.
Or again, because the other, the two, like Ime mentioned the favorable matchup in his comments. And yeah. I think one is Portis is feels like the one that they were looking at for Tatum. Also, if Connaughton and Holiday switch that and Jalen has Connaughton, that's another pretty favorable matchup.
Yes. Yes. And then you also have the potential for a Horford pin down here and then seal on Matthews.
Right.
And then a cut to so you have three good options. Now we all know that Tatum would have just pulled up from 15 feet, but you had three good options. So what went wrong in this play? I think you had Horford fell asleep.
Yep.
The timing of this play is way off. Horford's supposed to go. Tatum is supposed to go. Now the other thing, I'm going to play this through here. Look at Smart gesture.
Yeah. Smart gestures too.
Can I make that bigger? Great. Smart gestures. Now watch
it. It's a little too clear right now.
watch Jalen turn his head when Smart gestures. Whoop. Oh, that little thing. I think Smart starts to gesture so he can get Connaughton off of him. And what ends up happening is Jalen bites on the fake. And then Smart makes the cut and Jalen goes, oh, and he misses the screen.
Yep.
When Jalen misses the screen there, now Connaughton is up. He's too far up. You can't run that play. So Smart, having the count in his head, which is very smart because it's at four when the ball is released. Smart says, you know what? I'm just going to go down this way. And inbound it here. And when he catches it, he says, okay, look at all of this open space.
Yeah.
He sees the back of Bobby Portis's head. So he knows no rim protector. Now he needs to hear, this is my criticism. He needs to see, for people who can't see it, Bobby Portis is facing, Drew Holiday is facing Marcus Smart. Smart has gone by Connaughton, but you gotta be aware that Holiday is right there. He's facing you. I'll keep doing that. Then even though he shakes Connaughton, the other guy that was there, you have to be aware that he is in the play.
That's the big mistake right there.
To me is the big mistake.
Yeah.
It's agreed. Smart does a good job coming off the play. Breaking the play because it's four on the count. Does a great job getting into that point. Like when he turns the corner and he sees this,
that's
dry.
That's a bucket.
Okay, but now again, so Holiday is there. One now, watch Jalen. Jalen
smart cut
does the right thing.
Yep,
he's right where he needs to be. That's a dump off. You got two things that could happen: a dump off to Jalen, who. Now Portis has a possibility of getting back in the play, but look at Horford now. He's cutting. So you can dump it off to Jalen. Portis can make his move, and then you can dump it off to Al Horford. Now the other thing, the last thing I'll say about this play is up fake. Just you're in the bonus. You're in the penalty. Drive. You've got 11 seconds. Drive it. Boom, fake it. Then Holiday, Marcus Smart, absorb the contact from Holiday, then put it up. Maybe you get a three-point play. Be aware of your situation. So no awareness on this play. No awareness of where the help was. No awareness of time, score, situation. Like that was just getting too caught up in the moment, playing too fast. You know you've got him in the penalty. At the very least, up fake it, and you know you can spin out. You've got time to dump it off to somebody to come help you.
The one counter I have to that is think about how many times you just backed it up, rewound it, paused it, slowed it down.
100%. 100% right.
That you're 100%
right.
All of that happens insanely fast.
Right. But also
– and again, if you don't see Drew – you think you have a bucket. And I get that. I really do get that for on
Smart. You got to see him there, man. You got to see him. He's standing there. He's facing Marcus Smart. He's not even up. He's halfway in the lane. Like he's basically on the free throw, lining up on the free throw. Like that's just, you got to see it.
Yeah.
Your argument is correct. However, counter to the counter, this is what they do in a film session. Yeah, this is what you do. And
that's true. That's
Ime would be like, look, man, you got to see this. You got to be aware. And Ime said, he was mic'd up in the game. He told Al Horford, hey, man, we're in the penalty. You know, if you get
it,
up fake, lean into it, try to get him. Yep. Like the players knew, they were told.
Then yep. No, that's all true.
Just this is when Ime talks about poise, this is it.
Yeah.
The lack of poise, this is it. When you're not playing with poise, this is you're making decisions, you're just going too fast, you're not seeing the whole picture. And under a microscope, in Marcus Smart's view with the blinders on, totally understand it. But the poise of winning a championship, winning a game like this, for all of these guys, not just Smart, but Smart on this play. The poise is understanding, like, okay, turn. I got this guy, but I know where I got the snapshot when I turn of where the guys are. I know time. It's like being a quarterback and being aware in the pocket. I've got the guys around me. I know I need to, 1001, 1002. I got the internal clock. Now I need to step up because somebody's going to be coming around the edge and trying to bat this ball away. So if I step up a couple of steps, then my guys can ride that guy out and I'm still in the pocket. I can still make this play. That's what Tom Brady is like genius at. That's poise. Poise under pressure. That's what was not happening on this play. It's as simple as that.
Yep. It's also like the whole way around that there was very little poise happening because
right that play broke down. 100%
that play broke down hard.
That play broke down before it even started. Yes. Derek White got the ball and immediately it broke down.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yep.
Let me because I've been talking about this fans thing. I was just so weird. In the middle of the fourth quarter, they did the we need to get loud stuff, and the crowd didn't respond. It was like 7 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go. And they did. And I tweeted out like, the Celtics are a very good basketball team, but they're terrible at the pump up. Okay. Boston, it's the fourth quarter. Like you remember the old video of Rondo at media day. And in the background, you hear Kevin Garnett just yelling and screaming. And Rondo's like, dude, it's media day. What is he so hyped up about? He was doing that fourth quarter hype up video. And in this video, you got Jason Tatum be like, it's the fourth quarter. And you get somebody else like, hey, I know you can get louder than that. These guys are not like emotionally invested in the moment. And I really feel like the crowd like responded in kind. You're like, yeah, I guess it's the fourth quarter. Yeah, no, I don't feel like getting loud right now. Like it's the first time I've ever seen a Jumbotron prompt the crowd to get loud. And they just were like, they refused to get loud. Like in Boston.
I'm stressed right now, guys.
Yeah, but normally, they put a noise meter up. They should have showed Taco again. Taco Fall was there.
Yeah.
Bob Kraft, I think, was there. Like, go to your old tricks. Go dig in one of the old KG videos. Put one of those up. You could do anything. But that was weird, man. The crowd energy was weird in the fourth quarter. They got hyped for Horford's dunk. They got hyped at the right moments in the game. But like that, there was like no energy in the middle of the fourth quarter. It's like what was happening with the players was also happening with the crowd. Like no one was kind of into it.
I do think that one thing that I think happens with Celtics games a lot is that they're really good at nostalgia and like poignant moments, so like tribute videos. But like a lot of times I feel like the crowd sort of makes up for the like, you know, like it's a very knowledgeable crowd. Like, you know, yeah. Like they cheer for the right things. And like if you're trying to pump them up, sometimes I feel like there's a little bit of like an nah, dude, you guys don't deserve this right now from like from the crowd or you know, like or just like, nah, man, like it's kind of cringe that we have to hear this same you know, like we have to hear the same like classic rock song before every, you know, like the same Dropkick Murphys song before every game. Like, you know, it's like, I mean, maybe people don't love that as much as the Celtics seem to think they love it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but
they got rid of Crazy Train at the beginning of the game.
They did get rid of Crazy Train. Yeah.
Which, you know, was 10 years coming, but, now, then they started doing I thought in the first round they started doing the Triple H theme music, which I love. Time to play the game, and that's what, that's Motorhead or something like that. Like that's you know, that's like I can get down with that. That was like, I love that. They've been experimenting and it's whatever, but I don't know. I just wanted to comment on the weird crowd energy in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
it's unlike something I've seen because normally the crowd would have been like, I think they would have taken the hint of like, hey, we don't have it right now. Can you guys give us a little energy, something? Right. You know? I don't know. It was weird.
Totally.
All right. Well, good podcast for, you know, just chatting. I did not expect to do a video breakdown of a play.
Yeah, man. Wing and a prayer. That's the formula.
People have actually asked for that, and I had not figured out how exactly to do it, but that worked. Maybe incorporate that a little bit more. Yeah. All right, Tom Westerholm. Thanks.
Tom Corrales. Appreciate you.
Tom_NBA, the underscore squad on Twitter. Thank you all for listening and paying attention and subscribing and all of that stuff. Really do appreciate you being part of the Locked On Celtics podcast. You are part of it. You listening makes this thing go. The show has been flying up the rankings. It's the number one Locked On podcast on the entire network. It's the number one ranked Locked On podcast on Apple right now. It's gotten as high as I think in the 70s in all sports podcasts, which is all because of you listening and sharing and all of that stuff. So I do appreciate that. Thank you so, so much. It's been a wild ride in the playoffs. Hopefully the Celtics continue this, and I will be back after Game 6, hopefully talking about a win, talking about things positive that happened. I'll be doing that after the game. So subscribe, watch the show on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and please do share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.